Hello and welcome to episode 148 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. This week, our heroes take a break from fixing the world's problems and instead kick back, relax, and count their technological blessings. Joining in the conversation this week is Ryan Taggersley, Craig Ellis, and Joe Carter.
Here at Tech Reformation, we wanted to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and give, as today that we're recording is the day after Thanksgiving, probably the day you're listening is not, but that's okay. And we wanted to share, just in the spirit of Thanksgiving, what we are thankful for, specifically in the tech realm. So today, all three of us are going to share just three or four things that we wanted to specifically call out and say, man, we're really thankful that this technology exists because without it, we wouldn't be as happy.
Life would still be not as good or not as easy.
Life would be less convenient.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. So we should be happy in all circumstances, right?
True. Well, but we should be joyful in all circumstances. It's debatable as to whether or not happiness and joy are the same thing. I don't think they are, but anyway.
That makes sense. But 40 years ago, probably people were just as happy as we are without smartphones.
They didn't even have an iPhone.
No.
I mean, what are you talking about?
They'd be happy. Haven't you heard of the Dark Ages?
The 1970s, nice. Kid.
So, yeah.
Kids, join me.
All right, so how about, Joe, you kick us off.
All right, well, things that I'm thankful for. I think the first thing that I'd have to bring up is video chat or voice chat. Being able to call my mom, who is a couple of states away, which she's not very far, she's only a couple of hours, but the convenience of being able to talk to her and actually see her face and have her see my kids over voice chat is a huge win for technology in my opinion, and it's made things a lot easier than it would have been even when I was growing up. So,
Nice. Yeah, I think of living in Japan and like missionaries before me, they might have a letter that goes by boat and takes months and months. And now you're like, anytime I can see my family's faces. It's incredible.
Or your podcast co-host's faces.
Indeed.
Yeah, or my podcast co-host's faces.
Depending on the week.
It's a mixed blessing.
It's a blessing and a curse. So I think I second that. I would also say that at the moment, I was chatting to my wife about this and I was like, what do you think I should say? Because I mean, there's a whole bunch of obvious things I could list, but I was trying to think outside the box. And at the moment in particular, one of the things I'm really thankful for is medical technology. So, you know, the many advances that have happened, particularly over the last, I don't know, 50 to 100 years, I guess, in terms of being able to diagnose and then treat certain things. One of my kids has condition called hydrocephalus, extra fluid in his brain, creating pressure, and without a little thing called a shunt to permanently drain the fluid out of his brain to other parts of his body, he would have died. So within like probably 3 or 4 years. So the fact that they could figure that out while he was still in the womb and then be prepared pretty shortly after to intervene, and with a little device that's programmable with a magnet, little oven dial thing on the outside of his head, it's just, you know, there's so many cool things like that. I mean, pacemakers, like there's so many things that have saved people's lives or improved people's quality of life in the medical field that without computers and without different types of technology and, you know, advances in engineering and stuff just wouldn't be possible. So definitely thankful for that.
Yeah, that was on my list too. I had just seen a letter from St. Jude Children's Research, mm-hmm. Cancer Research. And it had said, it wasn't attributing it all to them. It said like with an asterisk, like we're partially responsible for these or something, but it was cancer death statistics. And it was like had a list of 5 or 6 and all of it. And it was maybe the 70s or 80s, the percentage of people who survived a certain type of cancer. And they're all 20 to 30% in that time. Mm-hmm. And then it said today's and they're all 70, 80%. And it was just really cool to think of the big difference of how many families' lives have been changed based off of that. And that's just cancer. And we think going back even further, like how many people died from infections of something that can be cured super easily now. I don't know if penicillin counts as technology as we're talking about it right now. But
for sure.
Yeah. So, or antibiotics.
I think so.
Is penicillin, well, that was the first antibiotic? I'm not crazy.
I think so. Yeah. From memory.
Okay.
I've never been wrong before. And I know it was.
And we're all doctors, so we know this stuff.
Exactly. Now, podcast listeners, don't take this as medical advice, but we're all doctors.
We're all not that kind of doctor.
No, not that sort of doctor. Anyway, let's see. My next one. You know what it is? It's the iPhone. And the iPhone and the related iDevices.
That's usually on the tip of your fingers, not the tip of your tongue.
See, I've been using it wrong this whole time.
It's a weird way to use them.
You'll get even more enjoyment out of it now.
It's the strangest thing to watch him use Touch ID. And it's not that just like, you know, I'll praise the mighty iPhone or something like that. It's the concept that's come from that. So I want to be a little bit more specific because that's so general. But the concept of the malleability of a device, that the device is just, it has enough tech crammed in it that developers can say, well, actually this is a Bible study library, or no, it's not a Bible study library. It's a guitar tuner. No, it's not a guitar tuner. It's a mapping system for when I'm hiking in the backcountry. It's like, wait, no, that's not at all what it is. It's a GPS for my car so I can get to work quickly. You know, that sort of thing. It's just that whole concept of like, in a way, it reminds me of the scene of Neo in The Matrix where he knows Kung Fu, where it's like, oh, I don't have that, but okay, now I am that. I have that, you know? And I think that our devices and the people that work on specifically the apps around those have been so creative in thinking of different ways to use, to work within the limitations of the device. And then the developers of the hardware have also extended them going, oh, wow, okay, well, they can do that with this. What if we gave them this? What could they do with it? You know? Mm-hmm. So that's what I was thinking about, the malleability of our devices, that they can become whatever we, in a practical device sort of sense, whatever we need them to be, with just installing a different piece of software. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I must admit, the iPhone was on my list as well. I think it still is. I don't think I've bumped it for anything else. But I must admit, I was sitting chatting to my wife the other night and said, you know what, I'm actually really... I think I got my phone bill and it was, you know, it wasn't because the bill was too high or anything, but I just said to her, I'm actually really looking forward to getting the Lite phone in April next year or whatever that is, April, May, something like that, to having a semi-dumb phone, mm-hmm. just because I am looking forward to the change of pace and lack of temptation to get distracted and all those kinds of things. Not that the iPhone's a negative. It's not. There's nothing wrong with the tech itself. But just after 10 constant years of iPhone usage, as much as I love it and I'll still have one and I'll use it for work and whatever, I am looking forward to a break from that. And so in a way, I'm thankful that there are other technologies that have been developed to perform similar functions to the iPhone without being, you know, without making us absolutely have to have an iPhone or a smartphone at all times.
Well, yeah.
Which I think is what this new phone is going to hopefully do for me. So that's something I'm kind of thankful for and looking forward to at the same time.
Well, it's. I remember I was an intern at a church one point, and I was talking to somebody about being an intern and getting the keys to the church, because now you're like, hey, I've got the keys to the church. I can come in anytime. If someone needs help getting let in, I can call me. I can just take care of it. It's this really kind of, it's a thing where you can kind of get a weird little pride over such a tiny thing, but you can get a pride over it, but you can also, it's also neat to have that, you know, the power to help. I said the best day there was getting the keys to the second best day there was getting the keys to the church. The best day was when I got to give them back. It's like you get all that, you know, the unlimited possibilities in front of you in your pocket, and then also realizing, wow, how neat would that be to just give it back? And now it's just a phone. And can you text with that? What can you do with it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's phone, text, directions. And maybe, I think it's got a small music playlist and Bluetooth connectivity. And I think that's like the base level And then I think they're talking about having like a toolbox area where if you wanted to, you can add extra things, but that's the, it's meant to be sort of those sort of four or five core functions and that's it. So, because some people are saying, oh, we want the ability to be able to add our own scripts and stuff like this to do different things. And so they're like, well, we might be, you know, but it's all through crowdfunding. So that's the other cool part of it, is it's a technology that's being built with a certain sort of ethos in mind of being more stripped back than the fully fledged smartphone. But it's still got some sort of contributor input as to what's helpful and whatever. And, in, you know, what does that actually look like, rather than just we've made a phone that we think will be good for the masses and then people get it and don't enjoy it. So, yeah, anyway, I'm sort of thankful that that's a thing and that it exists. And, yeah, looking forward to a slight, at least on weekends, a change of pattern, I guess, from sort of the day-to-day smartphone usage.
Well, from next up for me, I'm thankful for the Kindle.
Nice one.
All the obvious reasons that most people use them for, like currently doing seminary. I love the Kindle. One, all the books are cheaper. Two, they're much more portable.
I love cheaper books.
Cheaper ones. But then the second reason, and the thing that really has like made my Kindle one of my favorite things, as opposed to just using a Kindle, one of the things that has made the Kindle one of my favorite things is having been learning Japanese. I can download Japanese books on the Kindle, and then they still have the definition in it. So whenever you touch the word, definition pops up for you, and it just makes reading foreign language books so much easier, because, you know, I never realized how many different vocabulary words were in a language until I started learning a new one. And just imagining having a little dictionary to my side and then the Kindle here, it would just make reading unbearable at my current level, because I'd always have to be typing all these words in. But now anytime I don't know a word, I just touch, okay, now I know the word, and just keep going. And it makes it, it's the Kindle is my favorite study tool at the moment.
Nice.
So, yeah.
All right. Then back to me. Another one that I am really grateful for is online learning, being able to do classes online. I think the fact that we have the ability to decentralize from a brick and mortar institution, those things, you know, the learning things on a very granular level, like I can go to YouTube and go, I need to know how to install a new heater fan in my van, which is something I'm needing to do. And I can see several videos of people doing it, of, you know, greater and lesser quality. But something that I've gained a lot of value from is lynda.com and Skillshare and Udemy, the three of those, where I can kind of get a very targeted, you know, here's a particular thing that I want to learn about. I can do some searching on it. They've vetted the classes a little bit, and I know that what I'm going to get is at least hits a minimum quality threshold. And I've really appreciated that. That's how I've learned to have gotten back up to speed after not touching the Adobe products for years and years, coming back up and being able to use those. I do UX design work now using Sketch, and getting off the ground with that. I mean, that was a big part of that was just a Udemy course and a Lynda course, finding courses about Sketch and going, okay, let's get going and walk through these basic parameters so I can kind of get my hands dirty and get enough confidence to be able to press forward and really learn the programs at a deeper level. So that online learning, and specifically targeted online learning, I'm really thankful for. It's been a big blessing to me.
Lynda.com is now LinkedIn, right? It's LinkedIn Learning or something? It's been sort of owned by them? Taken over?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I should check that.
If you go to Lynda.com, it takes you to Lynda.com from LinkedIn, and the certificate is LinkedIn. I'm pretty sure I tried to do a Lynda.com course recently, and then I ended up getting a certificate in my LinkedIn account saying, hey, you've done this course. So I think they're sort of connected, which is actually kind of a cool, I thought that was a cool extension of LinkedIn. I kind of had previously thought of LinkedIn as like business people's Facebook that wasn't actually that useful. I know it can be good for job search and whatever, but I kind of was like, I don't really feel the need to build a network here. But the more I use it, the more I can see use for it. And I think having something like lynda.com hooked into it is pretty cool. The other one I've used, I don't know if you've seen this one, Joe, is Treehouse or Tank. Have you ever used Treehouse?
I've never used it.
Okay. That back in my days of digital media web design stuff, that was quite helpful for, that's more like coding, online learning, but sort of really cool lesson format with tutorials. And then you actually sort of work on projects online and get them, you sort of, there's like quizzes and stuff to help you retain knowledge and stuff. But yeah, that whole area of online learning has opened up so much to so many possibilities. And iTunes U as well. I remember the first time I realized that you could watch whole university courses, like lectures for free. I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is something that, you know, people spend thousands, you know, tens of thousands of dollars sometimes on university fees. And to be able to have at least the sort of core information from that is pretty cool.
Definitely.
So my last one, I kind of feel like, I want to say the internet, but I also want to say that's way too broad. So yeah. I'm going to narrow it down a little to something that maybe makes me seem really superficial. But the Apple TV has been really helpful to me and my family. Just in terms of, I think back to before we had sort of on video on demand services like that, where you could sort of easily choose what you wanted to watch. And you were sort of confined to whatever was on free-to-air TV at the time if you wanted to watch something. And I think it kind of scares me when I think of the number of hours I've probably wasted of my life watching stuff that wasn't worth watching, but it was what was on at the time. And I didn't have anything else to do, and so I felt like watching TV. So to be able to, especially for my kids, to find something that's educational at the press of a button and not to have to wait until 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I'm at work and whatever anyway, you know, like anytime I can find something that's good for them to watch. And I guess you could throw YouTube into this category as well. But yeah, we've just found that that's now how we consume, you know, video content way more than any other platform. So, I just think not just the convenience of it, but I guess being able to seek out the things that will actually be edifying or helpful or funny or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And at the same time, screen out the things that are really not beneficial, I think is a pretty cool tool. So a little bit narrower than the whole internet.
Yeah, I had a similar thought. I was thinking like search engines might be good. And I was like, that's basically the whole internet. So I'll leave that one off.
Thankful for the Google. But,
thankful for MSN Messenger and emoji. No.
I'm thankful for Bing. So hey. Nobody. No.
But Bing Rewards. No.
Oh, yeah. Still
Bing. Yeah. Tank used to advocate for Bing Rewards when we had Tech You Should Use.
Yeah. You get $5 on Amazon every month or so. It was great. But
I was waiting for anyway, one of us to be thankful for MySpace as well, but that hasn't come up yet.
Nice. Well, my last one. I've just recently gotten back into programming. I've had a little extra time to play with programming again. And back whenever I was programming, I did a lot of JavaScript stuff. And JavaScript just feels messy. Even whenever I try to do it well, it feels messy. And I spend a lot of time playing with, like, searching for bugs that turned out to be easy to find. They're just like a typo. But I didn't have anything to catch it quickly. So since I've started again, I found TypeScript. And so that's what I'm thankful for is TypeScript, which is basically, I don't know, a thing over JavaScript that compiles into JavaScript. And so essentially, instead of searching forever for an error, it just tells you, hey, there's an error. And just like any other compiled language, but in JavaScript, which is what I like using the most. So yeah. So I'm super thankful for TypeScript because it has saved me a lot of time and made getting back into programming a lot more enjoyable than what I remembered it being. So that's my last one. So I guess that's all. I know that we could list a ton more of things that we're thankful for, as technology is a hugely broad subject. And it's like, how do we narrow this down? So I was just thinking, look in the categories that I'm using and then broader categories, which I think we hit both of. So anyway, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And I hope that you guys, happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
I also hope that you, No, happy Thanksgiving. That was an interesting discussion. I think we've plumbed the depths of, you know, technology. So what are we going to do next week?
Reform it.
Nice.
Reform it. Nice. If you'd like to connect with us, you can always meet us in our Slack
workspace
community. Slack workspace. You can always meet us in our Slack team? Workspace.
I don't know. It keeps
Slack
changing.
Team. If you'd like to connect with us, we use Slack. So you can go to slack.techreformation.com and get in there and join discussion and share about what you're thankful for, or join any of our other channels and talk to us.
And you can also hit us up on Twitter at Tech Reformation, or visit our website at techreformation.com. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, 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 I ain't looking back. I made my choice, and I ain't looking back. Happy Thanksgiving, Australian listeners. Let's just be thankful, even though we don't have a holiday for it.
Too right. Too right.
You guys are thankful every day.
That's right. We don't need no turkey. Turkey's for Christmas.